If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Matthew. I would like to read from Matthew chapter 21. There's one verse of Scripture that I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42, and one particular expression in that verse of Scripture. I encourage you to look at the Bibles and follow in the Word of God as we try to study. Please pray that God's Holy Spirit would be our teacher and that we would learn from the Word of God, and that we would be doers of God's Word and not hearers only. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's Word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who spoke this world into existence and the one who shall bring it to a close. We're thankful that thou art our Father, that thou hast loved us with an everlasting love, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We thank you, Father, for sending thine only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We thank you, Jesus, for laying aside all the glory and the riches of heaven, that though you were rich, yet for our sakes you became poor, that we through your poverty might be rich. Thank you for the bountiful blessings of life that we have here in this world, but above everything else, we thank you that one day we're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God and be carried to that home eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, where there will be no more sorrow, sickness, pain, or death. We look forward to that time that we shall see thee face to face and be able to give thee the praise, honor, and glory in perfection that's due thy great and holy name. Yet we thank thee that while we live here in this world, though we are imperfect creatures, we're thankful that through Christ that we can come to thee in prayer, and through Christ we can worship thee. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would be manifest this night, for thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. So we come tonight asking you to fill us all with your Spirit. Lord, not just in your house, but as we go about our various activities and responsibilities during this coming week, we pray that you would walk with us and commune with us. As we tried to study this morning, thou hast delivered us from death. We thank you, Lord, for delivering us from death. Will not thou also deliver our steps from falling? Bless us, Lord, to walk every day to thy name's honor and glory. Be with us now as we study thy word. May thy word be as seed sown in fertile ground, and may it bring forth fruit to perfection in all of our lives. Help us to honor thee and glorify thee and praise thy great and holy name. In the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd like to read now Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Please look at verse 42. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42. The Word of God says, Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures? And the Scripture, by the way, that he's quoting is the 118th Psalm in verse 23. He says, did you never read in the Scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. I want us to think primarily about the last expression in that verse of Scripture where the Word of God says that Jesus says, this is the Lord's doing, it is marvelous in our eyes. The works that God does, all the different works that God does, they are marvelous works. And we ought to be honoring God and worshiping God and praising God as God from time to time blesses us to see his goodness and his marvelous works to the children of men. We ought to be praising God every day for the works that he's doing. God is doing great works in every one of our lives. We'll come back to that at the end. But right now, I want us to begin with this text that says that there is a, he says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. What in particular is Jesus talking about? In its context, what is Jesus saying? Now this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. What was the specific work that he was talking about in its context that was such a marvelous work? What was that work?
The stone.
All right, there was a stone which the builders rejected, and that same stone that was rejected by the builders, that same stone is now the chief cornerstone. Now, who is that stone talking about? The stone that the builders rejected. Who is that stone that was rejected by the builders, but now he is the chief cornerstone? Who is that stone? That stone is Jesus Christ. He was rejected by the builders. That is, men hated and despised Jesus Christ. There was nobody in the days of Christ that wanted to exalt him as what he really was. Nobody wanted to recognize him. Nobody wanted to declare and testify, this is the Christ, this is the Messiah, this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, this is the foundation of the church, this is the head of the church. The people of God rejected Jesus Christ. The people in the days of Christ, he was rejected by the builders. But now, the second statement is, not only was he rejected by the builders, the second expression is that that same stone is become the head of the corner. My question is, how did that stone that was rejected by the builders, how did Jesus, who was rejected by those people that he was living among in his days here on this earth, how did he who was rejected, how did he become the head of the corner? How did he become the head of the corner? God is the one that exalted him. God is the one that established him as the head of the corner. It did not matter the fact that men rejected him, though he was rejected by men. I'll tell you, brethren, God established him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Word of God says that God has highly exalted him. Who? God has highly exalted Jesus Christ and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know who the head of the church is? Who is the head of the church? It's Jesus Christ. Do you know who the foundation of the church is? It's Jesus Christ. Do you know who it is that helps us as we try to build upon that foundation? It's Jesus Christ. Do you know what we can do without Jesus? We can do absolutely nothing. Who is it that is the chief cornerstone and the head of the corner? It's Jesus Christ. It's a marvelous thing that a man that is completely rejected by men is now the chief cornerstone. And that's what Jesus says. He says, this is what happened. The stone which the builders rejected, that same stone has become the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone. And that's what he says. And that's in its context, that's what he's talking about when he says, now this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Do you realize what a major and wonderful and marvelous thing it is that God has taken one that was rejected by men, that nobody on this earth would acknowledge that he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet God has exalted him and lifted him up? It's a great thing that God can do. Can God still do that? Are there people that are still rejected today, rejected by men, and yet they're lifted up by God? Tell me anybody in the Bible that you know of that was rejected by men. Anyone in the Bible that was hated by men, and yet God lifted him up. Name somebody besides Jesus Christ.
Stephen.
Who is someone else?
Stephen.
All right, Stephen. Stephen was rejected by men. Stephen was hated by men. Stephen was stoned to death. They gnashed on him with their teeth, and they stoned him to death. But what did God do? God highly exalted him. God blessed him to lift his eyes up to heaven, and he saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. Usually when you read about Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. But on that occasion, God highly exalted and lifted up Stephen and blessed him to see Christ, his Savior and his Lord, standing at the right hand of the Father. Stephen was a man that was rejected by men, but he was highly exalted by God. Who else is a man that was rejected by men, but was lifted up by God? David?
Joseph.
All right, Joseph. I was going to have trouble with David. I can preach Joseph. There's nobody that's more like Jesus Christ than Joseph was. Joseph was hated by his own natural brothers, wasn't he? They despised Joseph. Why? Why did they despise Joseph? It was because of the preferential treatment that the parent gave to Joseph. It was because the father loved Joseph so much, and they were jealous of their brother, and they hated their brother. But I'll tell you what God kept doing time and time again. Didn't matter what they did with Joseph. They could put him in a pit. They could try to kill him. They could put him in prison. They could put him anywhere. But no matter where men put Joseph, God, every time, God would raise him up. And he would become highly exalted. The one that was rejected by men was lifted up by God. I'm telling you, brethren, there are men and women today that they are rejected by men. They are despised by men. They are hated by men. And yet God lifts them up. God holds them up. God lifts them up into a sacred nearness with Him. And it's a marvelous thing. What does Jesus say about Him being rejected and Him becoming the head of the corner? He says, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Doesn't matter if you look at Noah or Abraham or whoever you want to look at. As you go through the Word of God and you find people that were rejected by men, and yet God lifted them up, this is the Lord's doing that lifts them up as they're rejected by men. And God lifts them up and blesses them to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I want to go away from this particular expression in its context, and I want us to think about the expression that's made here. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And I want us to just think tonight, and we're going to close by talking about some things that you have seen in your life where you can say, now this is something that God has done in my life, and I know that what God did in my life is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in my eyes. Nobody else may see it, nobody else may know about it, but I'm telling you, brethren, God is doing great works in our lives. And we need to open our eyes and pray that God will open our eyes that we might see this is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Because as I look at the marvelous works that God is doing in my life, as I think about the marvelous works that God is doing in my life, you know what I will do? You know what you will do? You cannot keep from doing. When you begin to look at the marvelous things God is doing in your life, you will be praising God. You will be serving God. You will be glorifying God as you begin to see the marvelous works God is doing in your life. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. I'm going to first talk about creation. Was that a marvelous work? Or was it the work of God, first of all? This is the Lord's doing. That's what that text says. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Is creation marvelous to you? When you read Genesis chapter 1, you go back to the beginning of the Bible and you read Genesis chapter 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Does that amaze you, the creation? To read about God saying in the beginning that the world was without form and void and darkness covered the face of the deep. And all of that chaos and confusion and darkness, that God could just speak and say, "Let there be light," and there was light. There's nobody here. Now I may tell Brother Clay, go back there and turn off all the lights. And he might go back there and turn them all off, and I could say, "Now, turn them on," and he might turn them on. But I'm telling you, there's not a person in this building that can speak and light will come forth. God has that power, but no man has that power. And that's what God did in the creation of this world. God spoke this world into existence. This is the Lord's work. Amen. And it's marvelous in our eyes. Amen. I don't know of anything more wonderful and more marvelous than to read. Well, I do a few. But this is one of the most wonderful things in all the Bible, to think about the work of the Lord. This is the Lord's work. if you ever start swallowing the lie of evolution, you're going to miss seeing the great truth of the Lord's work in creation. This is the Lord's work. Listen, brethren, it's no wonder, it's no marvelous thing in a way, and yet it is marvelous that God could do what He did in each of those 6 days. And God did everything He did. He created this world in 6 literal days. Amen. He created this world.
Amen.
He spoke the world into existence. He spoke and it was done. And as everything was done on each of those days of creation, He said, now it was very good.
Amen.
It was very good. Over and over. Every work that God ever does is a good work.
Yeah.
This is the Lord's work. Is the work that God did in the creation of this world, is it marvelous in your eyes? Do you ever just stop and just praise God as you go back through the eye of faith and you look at God's work in creation? Do you just praise God for His marvelous work in creation? We ought to.
Yeah.
We ought to say like Jesus did in Matthew 21:42. We ought to say, this is the Lord's work. I couldn't sit still in school, and nobody here ought to sit still in school when teachers begin to say and talk about the lies of evolution. You need to stand up and say, this is the Lord's work.
Yeah.
And it's marvelous in our eyes. Sorry you can't see it. Because it is the Lord's work, and it's marvelous in our eyes. And we can see it, and we need to praise God that we can see the work of God in the creation of this world.
Yeah.
So in creation, you can see the Lord's work, the hand of God in the creation of this world, the voice of God that spoke the world into existence. This is the Lord's work. And it's marvelous in our eyes. And because we see this marvelous work of God in creation, we want to worship God. We want to praise God.
Amen.
Salvation. Do you see the work of the Lord in salvation?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to come up with a way men can be saved? I used to do that when I was in college. I did. I try to sit back and I think, now, let's think of another way for men to be saved. That may sound foolish to you, but that's how people get when they think they're smart. They try to come up with another way. And I tried to think about other ways that men could be saved. And I thought, you know, maybe a man can just start doing enough good work that he can be saved. What's the problem with that? No man, in his natural state, before God comes to him and quickens him, no man has ever done or will ever do a good work.
That's right.
You cannot come. We're talking about the marvelous work of God in creation, but now in salvation. It's a marvelous work that God chose a people before the foundation of the world, and God predestinated them to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And God sent His only begotten Son into the earth to die on the cross of Calvary. I'll tell you the very fact that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. That's a marvelous work.
Yeah.
It's something I can't fully comprehend. I can't fully comprehend the triune God. But I know that there are three persons in the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I know that God the Son came down from the portals of heaven and took on Him the form of the flesh. And He lived an absolutely perfect life. And He was born of the virgin.
Yeah.
Is that a marvelous work?
Amen.
Yes, sir, it's a marvelous work. This is the Lord's doing.
Yeah.
And it's marvelous in my eyes. All the things, I'll tell you, that Satan, Jesus was not just God, He was man. He was man, wasn't He? It's a marvelous thing to me that a man could resist every temptation that Jesus ever put in his pathway. But that's what Jesus did. He was God in the flesh. He was a man. And as a man, He never yielded to the temptations of Jesus Christ. That's a marvelous work that God did right there. And then when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and was hanging there on the cross, and the people began to mock Him and say, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." You know what I would have done? If I could have come down from the cross, you know what I would have done? You know what you would have done? You and I would have come down from the cross. Why? Because we're not God. It's a marvelous thing that Jesus Christ, and it wasn't the nails that held Him to the cross.
Amen.
You remember how Jesus said, "Don't you know, Peter? Don't you know that I can call right now? And God will send legions of angels down to me. Don't you know and understand, Peter, that it's not the power of this army, it's not the power of these men that's holding me. It's me. I'm laying down my life for my people."
Yeah,
That's a marvelous work in salvation. Great work of God in the eternal salvation of his people is a marvelous work. This is a marvelous work. This is the Lord's work. The Lord's work. It's not 99% the Lord's work and 1% your work. It's all the Lord's work.
Amen.
This is the Lord's work. And it's marvelous in my eyes.
Amen.
And I thank God and I praise God for understanding the truth of eternal salvation. If you understand the truth of eternal salvation, if you understand what God's Word says about eternal salvation, you're seeing something that no man could ever conceive in his mind. Did you know nobody could ever come up with this plan of salvation that God has? Now, there are many plans of salvation that men come up with, but there is nobody that could ever come up with a plan that God sets forth in His Word for salvation. It's the Lord's work, and it's marvelous in our eyes.
Amen.
What about the birth of a child? Is that a marvelous thing?
Amen.
Is that a marvelous thing, Sister Doris? Little baby, little Callie. Oh, the birth of a child. You go back and you read. I want to just ask you right now to turn to Psalm 139. We're talking about this is the Lord's doing. And these little children that are being born, these little children that are conceived in their mother's wombs, that's a marvelous work.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, brethren. I went through 5 years of college. I'm pretty smart, huh? Aren't I pretty smart? No. I'm pretty dumb. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of times I thought I was pretty smart. But even when I was working on my master's degree in college, you know what I always used to think about when I'd think about that baby in the mother's womb? I used to think, and then the baby would be born. I used to think, I don't quite understand how. And I know all that, I know scientifically how it happens, but I'm telling you it's an impossibility what takes place when a baby is inside that womb, surrounded by water, getting oxygen through its mother, and then comes out of that womb and starts breathing completely different way. That's a marvelous thing to me. I still can't comprehend it. I've talked with doctors that deliver babies. They're still marveling at the great work of God in the conception of a child. Let me back up to that first. That's a marvelous thing. Did you know it? It's a marvelous thing that two little cells can come together and make one cell, and then that begin to multiply, and the baby be formed in the mother's womb, and 10 little fingers and 10 little toes, and the head, and the heart, and the lungs, and the digestive system, and all those things come about in that baby, in that mother's womb, in that baby's life. Isn't that a marvelous work?
Amen.
Well, who does that work?
God.
Thank you. This is the Lord's doing. And what did Jesus say? This is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. All we've got to do is just slow down and open our eyes and look around and pray for God to help us see something. And we'll see a lot of marvelous works. This is the Lord's doing. This is what God is doing. God is still working today. This is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. Look now at Psalm 139 beginning in verse 12. Psalm 139. Brethren, I encourage you to go home and read and study this. In Psalm 139... Psalm 139, beginning in verse 12, the Word of God says, "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee." How many of you can see without any assistance in total darkness? How many of you can see without any assistance in total darkness? Anybody in this building that can see without any assistance in total darkness? Is there anybody here that can do that? Can God do that?
Amen.
That's a marvelous thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what the Scripture says here. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. You can't hide from God. You can get in the darkest room in the world. You can hide behind any door you want to hide behind. You can turn out all the lights. You don't hide a thing from God. You can get in your room. You children can get on your computer away from your parents and you think you're hiding from your parents. You can hide from your parents. You cannot hide from God. Any adult that thinks you can hide from God, any adult that's doing things that you think nobody knows about, God knows about it.
Amen.
This is a marvelous work of God. This is the Lord's doing.
That's right.
He says in verse 12, "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee." Now, God's different, isn't he? God's a lot different. This is the Lord's doing. He can see in the dark and the light the same. Now verse 13, he begins to talk about the conception and the growth of a baby in the mother's womb. And the scripture says in Psalm 139 verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Isn't that a marvelous thing? God, I was in my mama, and God is the one who covered me in my mother's womb.
Amen.
This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes.
Amen.
Verse 14 says, "I will praise thee." Why will you praise God? I'll tell you, when we read and look at the Lord's works, and we realize how marvelous His works are, we will praise the Lord. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. In verse 14 he says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Did you know that's true of every one of us in this building tonight? You are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Well, who made you? It's the Lord's doing. It is God that hath made us, and not we ourselves. So he says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Are there some things you know right well? Are there some things you're sure of? Some things you know beyond any shadow of a doubt? One thing David says he knew right well, he says, "I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." And he says, in the last part of this verse, he says, "And that my soul knoweth right well." Verse 15, now listen carefully. He's talking about the conception and the growth of the baby in the mother's womb. Verse 15, he says, "My substance," I'm going to read it wrong, I want you to listen, "My substance was hid from thee." Was our substance hid from God?
Mm-hmm.
No. He says, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect." In other words, what does that mean? Now that we have sonograms and we have all these machines and equipment, can we, through those sonograms, get an image of a baby before we see all the toes and everything? Can we get those images?
Yeah.
But we know it's a baby. He says in verse 15, God sees that. God knows all about that. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book," listen carefully, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." There weren't even all the parts of my body there, and yet God already had the numbers about my head numbered. I'm telling you, I was bald-headed in my mother's womb, and before any hairs ever began to grow, God knew how many hairs were going to be on my head.
Amen. Yeah.
God knew everything about me. He knows more about me right now. God right now knows how many hairs on my head and how many hairs on your head. There's nothing that's hid from God. Birth, this is the Lord's doing. A baby growing in the mother's womb, this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. All you have to do is just look around you and think a little bit, and you'll begin to marvel at the works of God.
Amen.
I want you to think about how many people that were out there in the wilderness when the children of Israel had been delivered out of Egyptian bondage. Think of hundreds of thousands of people out there in the wilderness. And where did they get their food? Where did they get their food?
God fed them.
God fed them? Well, Brother David, how in the world could God feed them? How did you do it? God sent manna down from heaven. Or you can come up with any kind of scientific way that happened you want to. I'll tell you what happened. God spoke the word and manna came down from heaven.
Amen.
And the people were able to eat that manna and feed on that manna. And they could have tried to sneak it and hide it if they wanted to. What happened when they tried to sneak it and hide it? It was full. How did that happen? It was the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. It's marvelous to me how Jesus Christ, while He was here on this earth, would take 5,000 men, besides all the women and children, and take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed multitudes of people. It's a marvelous thing that God has the power to feed His people. You remember how David said, "I have been young and am now old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." It's a marvelous thing that God is able to take care of us, isn't it? I'm somewhat concerned about the future of America. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm somewhat concerned about the future of America.
Yeah.
But I am not concerned about the future of God's children that love Him and obey Him. I'm not concerned about that at all.
Amen.
Because God will take care of you.
Amen.
This is the Lord's doing. He'll do it. And it's marvelous in our eyes. He fed them. He led them. Does God lead you? Has God ever led you? Has God ever led you?
Mm-hmm.
Has God ever healed you? Did God heal people that were sick, blind? He would come to them. Does God still have that power today to heal the blind?
Yeah.
There is absolutely no miracle that Jesus ever performed while He was here on this earth. These were marvelous works. It was the Lord's doing. But it was all marvelous in their eyes when they saw it. It's marvelous in my eyes as I look back and read about those healings. But what amazes me even more is the way I've seen God healing among us. It's the Lord's doing. Marvelous in our eyes. If we'll just open our eyes and God will show us, we'll see this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Go with me to one other scripture. Back up just two or three pages to Psalm 126. I'm going to close right here. See, if any of you have anything that you can see and say, this is the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in my eyes. In Psalm 126, listen please to verses 1, 2, and 3. The Word of God says, when the Lord, this is Psalm 126, verse 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. It was like a dream to me. When God turned the captivity of Zion, I'd been in captivity and now I'm free. And it's like a dream. He says in verse 2, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, here's what the heathen said. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. What did the heathen say? What did the heathen say? The Lord's done great things for them. Now I want you to listen to verse 3. Verse 3 says, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Whereof we are glad. Are you glad God's done some great things for you? Can you tonight say, not just about things that are in the Word of God, but can you look at your life and say, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in my eyes that God has done something for me.